Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2020 International Film Festival Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Sebastian Lojo, presenting his film Los Fantasmas here at the festival. Thank you very much for joining us, first of all.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Would you mind just saying a few words to introduce it, a little bit about the story, however much you'd like to say?
Yes, it's the film is a contemplative exploration of Guatemala City in Guatemala in Central America. And we follow the lives of two main characters and two secondary characters as they try to find connections within a city or an urban landscape that doesn't allow them to find them, and as they try to look for agency and be seen again within a city and relationships that don't let them be seen.
No, I told you before this interview that I feel like a ghost. It sounded like a joke, but it kind of is true. You know, you mentioned that we have that problem in our everyday lives. Do you feel that is a problem in your life as well?
Yeah, I do think that a lot of the time most of us are looking for earnest and genuine connection with people that we find, but the transactional nature of the world that we live in leaves very few space for this, and especially in the for people in the film, which come from lower middle class in a country like Guatemala, it's even harder because you have less agency in every sense, political, social, and economical. So within the structures that we rely in, this becomes more and more complicated, let's say. This feeling is gross and gross, let's say.
Yeah. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? Like just the lower class setting in Guatemala? Was this a setting that you were familiar with personally?
Yeah, meaning when I left from Guatemala, now I live in London. I've lived in London for 5 years. I had a lot of problems with my country, not the country itself, but the way that things have worked historically. And I just had anger within me, and I didn't have the necessary distance, anger of how things work or how things happen or the historical nature of relationships. And by going to London, it allowed me to get some distance and use some personal experiences mixed with stories that I had heard in order to find this fictional framework in which to explore with this real life persons, because the characters in the films are playing themselves. They're not actors, and this is a very important thing for the film. Their material relationship with the world that they inhabit and how the camera can observe and dialogue with them in this ways.
Did you notice a huge difference going from, you know, Guatemala to London in the relationships and the way people connect there? Because I find sometimes London is also very...
London is a very interesting, massive city. London is like a big machinery where everyone is just minding their own business, and at the same time it has a lot of energy. I think, I don't know if I will ever be able to make a film in London, because what's inside of me dialogues with where I come from. But I think London in a very different way can completely eliminate a sense of self of someone, almost like as if it was a bulldozer. Guatemala is like a tornado that is much more messy, let's say. London is like a perfectly oiled machinery that can just eliminate the self, let's say.
Yeah. And another thing that strikes me about this film was the moments of silence. There's a lot of silence and quietness in this. Does this sort of reflect? I mean, you mentioned the bottled-up tornado, but it's a quiet tornado then.
This is the thing that was the most important to me, not to create silence, but the idea of the quotidian lives of our characters. Instead of indulging in the crime elements of the film, the crime just serves as a purpose or as a door into their quotidian understanding of life, let's say. So it's in these intimate moments that we have the time and the film slows down in order to be with them in this more melancholic and yearning pockets that we have. And this is supposed, if the film is working for the audience, it's supposed to dialogue with the more exciting, between quotes, crime elements and the juxtaposition of the emptiness that lies behind this rushes of agency through the crime elements. Yeah.
Does that then, this quietness, prompt you to look for a language that goes beyond the spoken words? In other words, a more visual language?
Yeah, I think the whole strategy of the film was, again, finding a balance methodologically between giving the possibility for the characters, Koki, Carlos, Daniela, and Sandra, to engage freely in the environment, but also to give myself the possibility of having a controlled camera with the right distance and the right language so that it created a consistent visual strategy, but also that would allow me to control the pacing with longer time, like extending time, so that we felt as if we were stuck in this moment and this like swamp of quotidianity alongside with them. So it was like this very controlled and very interesting relationship between them, the spaces, and the camera position that was always a dance.
It's yeah. Like time goes by, but no one seems to get anywhere, right?
Exactly.
Occasionally, those moments of, I think, disruption come from, like, violent moments, and sometimes sex, too, is an energy in the film.
Right? Yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, it feels like everyone is looking for something, everyone is trying to move, but no one is being able to move, especially Koki, the main character. We feel that there's an anxiousness inside of him. We are not very sure why specifically. It's not direct consequential anxiousness, but there's something inside of him that's just in turmoil, and the film even ends, to not ruin it, in a way where he never finds whatever it is that he was looking for, let's say. So the whole film is working in the way that you were saying, and as you're saying, this is not as if these moments of quotidian or this elongated periods of diegetic time are just there to be peaceful. In fact, they're supposed to be creating pressure, and there's always interruptions of either physical violence or sonoric violence or interruption of activities and hard cuts of sound and image into other places, as if we had no right to feel at home completely in the film.
Interesting. Yeah. So you mentioned that the cast, the actors in the film, are non-professional actors. Does that also mean that the characters were inspired by the people themselves?
That was again something that was very exciting for me, because when I wrote the film, it was 9 pages of script, but it was specifically a structural notes, let's say. So we had the bones of the film, which I believe that structure is probably the most important part of film, but I wanted through research to find the specific characters and bring the meat, if you want, if we can use that analogy. So let's say I knew that for the main character, I need a young, charismatic, handsome man that could weaponize his capability for seduction. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I needed these elements in someone. And if I found this, I would find a connection with this person, everything else would come from them. This is how we found Koki. And it wasn't through a casting process, it was through finding different spaces in Guatemala that I knew that might have this kind of qualities. Like, he's a break dancer in real life, and the breakdancing scene in Guatemala has a small amount of social capital, but where they have it, they're very loved and respected. So going to them and talking, Koki and I clicked, we started hanging out, and eventually the whole idea was to use his life, or the word is not used, to collaborate with him in order to use his life to build the Koki of the film. So it was this line, and even sometimes we had to talk about whether it's the real Koki or the Koki of the film, because the kid in the film is his own son that wasn't written into the film. It's because we hung out and that we decided together that he should be. The mother in the film is his own mother. The house in the film is his own house. Right. And this was always the idea from the beginning that I needed, that for me it's very important how Koki or Carlos or Daniela or Sandra relate with the space that they inhabit. So people behave very differently if it's their own home or if it's a set, let's say. The automatisms that we have in how we move our bodies. So, like the house, same thing with Carlos, it's his house. He is a wrestler in real life, not an actor. And the wrestling is his life. That's why it was such an important part of the film, to create this duality of this stoic, almost archetypical kind of masculinity with Carlos, of a man that has been shaped by life already. But this vulnerability of giving everything for this very small audience that comes every weekend and watches him fight the good and the bad guys, let's say.
Yeah. That's a very interesting blurring of lines between fantasy, fiction, and real life and reality, right? Thank you very much for joining us and talking with us about your film, which I remind our listeners is called Los Fantasmas. Does it have an English title?
I like the Spanish title because I think phonetics are very important to the identity of things, but it would be The Phantoms or The Ghosts, if you want. And thank you very much for having me.
Thanks a lot. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.